All right, and welcome back inside the Life Without Limits studio. We are trying to do a lot of these podcasts, not only via audio, but also via video now at my YouTube channel. So check that out. Subscribe, share if you'd like. Today was not planned. Today was not expected on a lot of levels. We woke up, had a 7 a.m. meeting. We were surfing together, Joe Town, Yogi Roth here. Joe, you've been on the podcast before. You're going to be on the podcast next week from our trip in San Sebastian together. But we both were impacted this morning by the news of Anthony Bourdain passing away. You actually were the one that told me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the first thing that came across my phone when I was like typing in the address to ride out here. And I didn't have time to process it. So like telling you was really, this is the three facts that I know. That's all I know. Yeah.
So you're a big traveler. I'm obviously a big traveler. Mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain is the traveler, right?
Yeah.
We've pitched travel shows. Everything is always like, blah, 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 Bourdain.
Bourdain.
Yeah. The sports version of Bourdain. The food performance version of Bourdain. Whatever it is. I think, you know, this whole podcast is based on what does it mean to be human. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten really vulnerable on this podcast before. We've had really fun conversations. You've been part of both of those. Curious for you, because this is going to be a different one where we interview each other a little bit. When you heard it or when you read it, what flashed across your mind?
I know they say when you're at the end of your life that everything flashes before your eyes. And so like multiple images came. One was too soon. One was just, why? One was just the image evoked of this hotel room in Paris and him being alone. Those were sort of layered right on top of each other for me.
Yeah. I think for me, because I didn't look at my phone, because I was like racing to get boards on a car and get in the ocean and meet you, that you told me.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that, because I didn't have to read it. Mm-hmm. I had to talk about it with a guy who I just spent some time in Spain with. But I look at him, and I think he made people think traveling was possible. And I think he made other countries human.
Mm.
You know, if you think about it, I can remember being in college for 9/11. I don't know where you were. And we had a game that got canceled. And my roommate at the time is Native American. And that night he gets chased down and beat up. He, because of just his skin color being a little different. And I think what Bourdain would do is he would take you to places, whether they were Iran or whether they were Spain or whether they were your backyard in Los Angeles, and make everybody human.
Yeah.
And that to me is like the ultimate gift you could give away to your family, your children. You have a son, but he got to gift it to millions every week. So I think, you know, we purposely didn't process on this podcast
right,
and prep
right.
Because I wanted to be reactionary, but I think that for me is what was most impactful from him.
Well, one of the things that I really appreciate about you, if I may for a moment, is in a world where we're constantly bombarded by headlines, and some of them recently and consistently are overwhelmingly hard to fathom and process all at once. Because you seek to find the humanity, I appreciated seeing your humanity in processing this information, because you could have been like, whoa. Okay, let's get the boards. And I think that it's a testament to someone's life that they impacted us. And, you know, we lose people. We lose people too soon. We lose people that have inspired us. We lose people in our own lives. And some hit me more than other people. And part of me hates saying that, because I don't know why certain people hit me the way that they do, but it was clear to me that this news hit you, and it's been a big part of our conversation this morning. And I'm really glad that we're doing this.
So interesting. And I didn't even really intro you at the top, but Joe is actor, entertainer, host, one of the leading coaches in Hollywood industry. You just did some stuff with us at Elite 11. That's what our podcast is about. You'll be able to watch that on the NFL Network. And you're also a feng shui guru. You've talked to people all over the globe about energy. I'm curious, what do you think his impact was on your communities? And then I'll say what I think his impact is on the sport and athletic community.
When you say my communities, do you mean like
what you work in, like where your feet are outside of your house, but acting, entertaining? Let's stay in those. In the Hollywood community, where do you think he either inspired or nudged or impacted?
Well, one clear thing to me is work ethic. I mean, someone who seeks to travel and tell the news and stories about aspects of the world, who in his off season says, let's do another show around this show, won't be too much of a strange thing for you because you're constantly seeking to tell stories. But his work ethic stands out to me as let's tell shows in between shows. While we're here, let's go here. We're wrapped on this. Let's do this. I think also this idea of let me go tell stories of people who are out of the spotlight. You know, whether it's Humans of New York or whether it's uplifting someone who's a local restaurateur, chef, farmer, fisherman, person he just meets and breaking bread with them, which is one of the oldest, I think, traditions around creating connection, creating peace. And it's one of my favorite pastimes. It's probably how I orient most of my socialization is around breaking bread with someone. So I think I switched from how he impacted the community of work ethic to how he impacts me as a individual. But those are two ways that I'd say right away.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, what a great blend, right? I mean, you bring you to the community, right? And mm-hmm. and knowing Joe, he does that all the time. I think for the sports world, like I got a lot of texts and calls from people. They're like, oh my gosh, Bourdain. And I think it's because they know my love for travel and they're all people in the sport community. I think what he did is, to your point, is that he never told the story about the quarterback, for instance, or the Heisman candidate. He told the story about the person that makes that, you know, sport even exist, right? He would go to Thailand and go to the field and go to a rice paddy, and he would drop into the street food in Southeast Asia. I mean, he would go to the people, and he was a man of the people, right? You read his book, and he's never shied away from his career, struggles he had, demons he had, and we all have them. And I think it's really easy to say at a time like this, you never know what anybody's going through, of course. But I felt like his show lived with that embodiment of you never know what anybody's going through, so let's go find out what they're going through and put a lens on it, put a light on it, and shine it. And I think that's cool. Like, if you look at the stories we lean into or this audience leans into, I got so many notes on my podcast because Joe Town, for instance, isn't a household name, but they love your stuff, right? You're one of the most downloadable podcasts of Life Without Limits, and on and on and on throughout my guests. So it's that to me has been a cool nudge in our world of like, you got to get the star. We can get big names if we wanted to, and those are great, but if they don't have the things that are going to impact others, don't put him in the chair. And I think that's where I think he's impacted the sports community of making it cool to talk about the left tackle a lot, you know, and his musical talents at USC, for instance. Yeah. And that to me is, that's cool. Cause that's a universal language which travel is.
So I know that there's a little bit of, I think CNN's walked back some of the language as of this morning about, the cause of death. I think right away it was labeled as that he took his own life, and he was unresponsive, and he was found by one of the chefs that he is friends with who's in Paris. But, you know, you work in and around the community of sport and particularly in the Pac-12. And so you have a guy like Kevin Love who has written articles about his struggles with depression. And then something like this happens in the wake of this week hearing about Kate Spade. I know a lot of people post, here's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number, but like, what's the message here that you'd like to give to humanity? You know, the number's out there. We have examples of where people either are talked out or haven't talked about it, but where do we lean into at a time like this?
I think you lean into your community to a degree, and you lean into the idea that like it's okay to cry. Like, that's a simple sentence that has a lot of depth to it. Mm-hmm. But as an athlete, we're taught you're only allowed to cry after a game, win or lose. Tears. Michael Jordan after a championship, Russell Wilson after a champ, whatever it is. But nowhere else. You can't be vulnerable. You have to be this pillar of strength. You have to be this figurehead. You have to be, we were just with high school quarterbacks, you have to be the dude, or Bourdain, you have to be the 9 million Instagram follower guy, like whatever it is, versus your only job is to be human in this moment. And whatever that feeling is, to feel it fully and then feel comfortable enough in your community to share it. You know, like there's a phrase out there, a story that is, you are the sum parts of the five people you spend the most time with outside of your family. And I buy that. And to me, there's the recalibration, whether you and I have talked to people recovering and going through addiction of like, man, my community needs to change. Or as creatives, like, cool, like this was fun. I got to change. My community grew. It was Pete Carroll, my 20s. Still, he's one of my closest friends. But as a creator and collaborator, I talk to other people now, you know, because I'm not in the football day-to-day building of a team. So that to me,
lean into your community
is to lean into your community and lean into your own humanity. You know, there's this, I was reading this book about, the documentarian Burns, like one of the greatest documentarians of all time. I was reading this article last night and he talked about how it's all in us. You know, our ideas, our passions are all in us. We hear them, but do we listen to them? And we hear our own issues. Do we listen to them? And I urge people to do it. We just got off Elite 11 with, you know, the Helsinki family. Ryan is a quarterback. Tyler passed away. There's a huge story in the Pac-12. I don't know the background. You don't know the background. But there's a community that's always willing to listen. And I say lean into it or create it. And if you don't, we're here. Like, you got two.
Yeah, I think there's two things that emerge out of feng shui language that I'd love to unpack for a minute. So one of them is that, you know, if you sort of sum up what feng shui is, we could sum it up in three words, really. If we boil it really down to balance, harmony, and flow. So for a moment, I want to talk about balance because here's someone that clearly having success in life. And arguably doing what they love to be doing. And as someone who has spent time on the road and speaking to someone who I know really 9 months of the year is on and has to be on point to be on camera and prepared, I want to talk for a moment about the balance in the form of self-care. You and I have people in common who say that balance is BS and that it's impossible with what it is we're trying to accomplish in the world. And I don't know. I think balance looks different depending upon what you're looking at. I think you can think of balance as, I saw what I thought was a Buddha statue earlier. I don't know where it is, but you know, balance can be somebody sitting in lotus or somebody sitting in meditation. But I think balance can also be Cirque du Soleil. And I look at these people who are dynamic, who are on one finger, but have found some kind of balance. And I instinctively feel that that can apply to self-care. And so I'm curious to know with you, what do you do to help balance the parts of your life while you're in grind mode, while there is no time to really take self-care? And how much of that is either day-to-day during those 9 months and how much of that is in the off-season?
Yeah, to me, it's the ocean. Like that's the ultimate level set we got out of a surf this morning. You disconnect to reconnect.
Yeah.
So as often as I can do that, for me, every Thursday before I fly to a game, I'm in the ocean all morning, right? So a place to reset, and I got to move. You know, man is made to move, and we move through things. I have to move. If I'm sitting still, you wouldn't like me. No one would like me. So that's how I achieve it.
What I really appreciate about that is, you know, there's this, I don't know how you'd categorize this expression, but they say that emotion stands for energy in motion. And so man is made to move. The ocean is moving. There's so many reasons why I love talking to you about the ocean, especially now that we've been in it, you know, together with similar goals. But I also think that if emotions and expressing them is a goal, that if we're stuck, if we're not moving, then that's probably a good indication of the first step. Right? Just start moving your body. Go for a walk. I remember one of my acting coaches and acting teachers, I was really frustrated with where I was in my career. And I came over and he said, let's go for a walk. And we did. And he just allowed me to sort of share all of my thoughts and feelings as we were doing it. And it was made easier by walking. And so balance is one of those main things. The other thing you brought up, which I think is really important, is who are your five? Who's in your five? And I wonder, I often will give a speech or a talk at the beginning of the year about the energy of the year ahead. And I'll do a ton of research, usually on websites that have traditionally celebrated the year of the whatever it is, you know. So usually there's an element like water, wood, fire, earth, metal. And then there's an animal, a sign in the Chinese zodiac of what it is. So for Earth Dog, which is this year, one of the themes is updating your five. It's really looking at the people in your community. And I think it's one thing to lean into them. I think it's another, and it's sometimes for me a challenging thing to edit my five. So I'm wondering, like, have you put any consciousness around that, you know, and if so, what leads you to that?
Oh yeah. Tons. I mean, I think you got to recalibrate all the time. I take the month of May every year. I call it, personal self-discovery camp. And I just go out and I have creative retreats. I tap into my mentors. I'll fly all over wherever I got to go or have calls just to reset. Hey, how am I doing? Like, I'll write my manifesto again. I exist because statement, or I exist right now. My statement is I exist for the fierce urgency of now.
You know, say that one more time.
I exist for the fierce urgency of now.
I love that.
Yeah. So I think you constantly got to be, to stay on the razor's edge, you got to keep sharpening the razor. You know, you have to do that. So to me, it's tapping into now we got more tools than ever, right? Podcasts, conversations, videos, YouTube, whatever. So yeah, that's kind of for me what I do.
So you mentioned earlier that you and I just came back from San Sebastian and you were gracious enough to include me in your travels, and it was life changing. It was fulfilling. It was fulfilling personally. It was fulfilling on a level of connecting to a culture. We had great adventures. What I didn't know when I said yes was anything about San Sebastian, other than it's one of your favorite places on the planet. I was just like, look at your face. Look at how lit up you are when you talk about it. So I'm at a friend's house. It's a week before going, and they're a couple who we've known for a long time, we love, and they're foodies. And they say, hey, do you know that San Sebastian has more Michelin star restaurants per capita than any other city in the world? And I was like, no, I don't even know what per capita is, but I've heard of Michelin stars, and tell me more. And they said, you should go check out the Bourdain episode on San Sebastian. So my last watching of his show was in preparation of our trip to San Sebastian. And it's extraordinary to learn about the Basque culture. It's extraordinary to learn about the food, the history. And a lot of what I learned on that show fueled the conversations you and I had when speaking to locals about their history, their culture, and their food. So I really thank him and the thread of life that brought me not only to the episode, but also to that place with you that time and to this conversation for what he did to shine the light on that.
So Anthony Bourdain passed away. How do you, as we close our reaction to that, how do you feel as though, as an explorer and as a traveler and as a seeker, you will view traveling because of his impact on you? Because you might see more episodes of him, but we won't feel his immediacy for obvious reasons.
Well, it feels to me like there's a void that's left because he embodied the spirit of, hey, let's go and let's connect and let's break bread. And I think that, you know, one of the things you mentioned is a guy you and I have spoken about, Phil Rosenthal, who has a travel show as well and has a tremendous spirit and positive energy, who honored Anthony Bourdain this morning. So it's going to be people like Phil. It's going to be people like you. And I'm hoping people like me who get to go and step up and step in. I do not mean this with any sort of callous harshness, but a softer version of next man up, like what in the artichoke, what in the lotus flower is emerging that calls forth who's next to be the voice for this travel, culture seeking, and connection.
Well said. I think for me, he's made traveling no longer a wanderlust thought, an idea. He made, I mean, we have digital nomads all over the globe. Where a lot of them are our friends. We have people who have travel shows. My brother has one on YouTube. You can check it out. You've done stuff traveling. I've done stuff traveling. I look at, there was a quote on CNN's Instagram page from him, and it was something along the lines of like, go move, go see places, go move as much as you can. And, you know, I think the era of getting a house, living in the house, getting a job, being there for 30 years and retiring, it exists, but it is very minimal right now. Some of the people that I'm working with daily are constantly moving, right? They, what, do you need some space? No, I got my laptop. I'm good. Give me a corner. You know, I mean, we are constantly moving. And going back to that quote that my dad has taught me and embedded in me is that man is made to move, and we move through things. I hope to carry on the idea of continually moving and being where your feet are when you're there, and then leaving your soul and going to move again and going to move again and seeing the world and bringing the humanity with you and showcasing that Black, Brown, Spanish, English, French, Portuguese, Middle Eastern, it doesn't matter. We all have the same thoughts around love, around creativity, around sharing. And that's, I think, what he embodied. And he did it through the muse of food. I do it through the muse of a ball. You do a lot through the muse of food and story. And I think now with the advent of technology, I'm going to hope to keep pushing every young student I meet on every college campus. Football season's like, what, 80 days away, you know, and be on every one of these campuses, is to go and see the world. It's too big for you to miss out on.
I love it.
Cool, man. Joe Towne, Yogi Roth, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out the podcast, Life Without Limits. This was a bonus ep, instant reaction to Anthony Bourdain. Much love, of course, to you, Anthony, your family, and we'll be thinking of you. Your impact will definitely not be forgotten.
Go look him up.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, peace.